Fantastic. Just close your eyes. I'm going to deliver this prophetic word old school. All right, so this is going to be first person, not third person, not a feeling, but what I believe the Lord is saying. Amen. For the Lord is saying, today is a day of new beginnings. Today is a day of a fresh outpouring. It's not a day for you to stand double-minded or to stand in a place of hesitation, says the Lord your God. For this is a day for you to know with a firm confidence, with a deep conviction that I am with you, says the Lord. For this is a season where you've stepped out in faith. You've heard my voice. And you've stepped out in faith. You have been obedient in your giving. You've been obedient in your steps of faith. You've been obedient in following that which those that lead you, says the Lord your God. And with that, I am well pleased. And with that, I'm truly honored, says the Lord, for you have honored me in your obedience. You have honored me with your generosity. You've honored me with your steps of obedience. And this is what I'm going to do, says the Lord. I'm going to pour out my spirit upon you. And I'm going to put a spine with you of iron where you'll be able to stand in the winds of adversity. In days gone by, you would have wavered in that which would come against you. But this is a season where you'll stand firm and stand strong and know the fact that God, the Lord your God, is with you. And as you open your mouth, you may do the same as you've done before. You even speak the same words. But know this, there's going to be a new authority. There's going to be a new anointing. There's going to be a new sense of response. There's going to be a new openness to receive, says the Lord your God. For this is the day, says the Lord, where my church shall advance forward. This is the day, says the Lord, where you will know increase. This is the day, says the Lord, where you'll know an authority to step out and to see my hand at work as you step out in faith, as you step out in obedience. For this is a season. This is a season of new beginnings where I will bless you like you've never known before, says the Lord your God.
Just want a frost and rain and wind. Oh my gosh, not. And awesome. Hey, just want to bring attention around a couple of things before I begin. I've got a short message I want to bring, but I want to give you an update in regards to the vision offering that we took a couple of weeks ago, about 3 or 4 weeks ago. And I know that I sent an email round the day after in regards to a rough indication of what was going on, but I want to give you an update because, you know, I mean, God's amazing. God is amazing. And I mean, what God did on that day was outstanding. I mean, not only are we able to buy this property for a good price, not only are we able to buy it from the Presbyterians interest-free for 4 years, which is just, I mean, come on, you know, come on. But I just want to give you these figures. So the final figures-ish, I'll say ish, is immediately on the day. Now, when I say immediately on the day, that is a figure that is there immediately, like it's coming into the bank over the next while. It's either in now or it's there. That figure was $148,506,000. Amazing, amazing. Pledged over the next coming year, over 12 months. So this is either pledged, this is the total amount, either weekly, fortnightly, or monthly, just how people wanted to give it. That amount came to $32,430,000 on top of that first figure that I gave you. And there's also another figure of $10,000 coming when it's available as well. So, you know, It's amazing. So we have in the process with Fergus, with the Presbyterians, are now just doing up the documents, what's needed to continue the legal side of it. But I would imagine that in the next 3-4 weeks we would have signed on the dotted line, and 46 Areti Road will belong to Church at Invercargill. Awesome, isn't it? Praise the Lord. And like I said, this is a seed for everything else. This is going to unlock everything that God wants to do with Church at within the city and beyond. Amen. Amen. Hey, I want to just bring a short message to you with a few other things in between. But I want to give you top 10 reasons why a church must be missional. Now, Let me just go to technology and bring, is that working? I had the privilege of meeting Dr. Terry Wong in Philippines last year and also in Hawaii when I was just recently there. And he's written a book called Mission Power. And in it, he writes this quote, "The church is only the church when it exists for others." The church is only the church when it exists for others. That is why, Jesus came for others. Jesus came to seek and save the lost. His whole mandate, his whole purpose was to bring everyone back in. To bring everyone back in, to restore relationship with God. And so the church is only the church when it exists for others. So I wanna go through a quick list of top 10 reasons why a church must be missional. Now, when I say missional, I'm not meaning missions focused in the sense of international missions focused. I'm not talking about that. We are internationally mission focused. We have a strong focus in the Philippines. We have a growing focus in Hawaii. Praise the Lord. And it still doesn't feel right saying we've got a missions opportunity in Hawaii, but we do, and I'm proud of it, and that's okay. And we will own it. And so we do have a missions focus, but this is not what I'm talking about here. Being missional means that the church and its people see themselves as sent by God into the world to live out and share the gospel, not just gathered for worship, but scattered for mission. It's not just about supporting overseas missions, but about every believer living on mission in everyday life, at work, in neighborhoods, in schools, in families, and in communities. So, number one, does this work? Yeah, it does. 10 reasons a church needs to be missional in its focus. One, we exist for God's purpose. Every ministry and decision should align with God's call to make disciples and advance his kingdom. Matthew 28:18-20, go and make disciples. In fact, it says, therefore, go and make disciples. Our pastor at Invercargill Christian Center, which is the church that we went to, Pastor Ian Wright, he would always say, if you ever see a therefore, find out what it's there for. Therefore, go and make disciples. In verse 18, he goes, Jesus came and told his disciples, I have been given all authority in heaven and on earth. Therefore, go. Because I have been given authority, because I have been given all power, because I have been in heaven and in earth, because of that, you now go. So it's based out of a commandment. A disciple is not just a student who learns information, but one who attaches themselves to a teacher to imitate their life and absorb their teaching. So making disciples isn't about getting decisions, it's about shaping lives into Christ likeness. We exist for God's purpose. As a church, and I'm talking us as a church, as church at Invercargill, we exist for God's purpose. That's why we're here. We're not here to have a nice club. We're not here to have a nice place to come and go to in the weekend. We're not here to socialize. All those are great things that come out of, but primarily, first and foremost, we exist for his purpose. Number two, our identity is defined by mission. Following Jesus isn't about attending, it's about being sent as his ambassadors. 2 Corinthians 5:20, we are therefore Christ's ambassadors, as though God were making his appeal through us. An ambassador is generally defined as an official role, a high-ranking representative sent by one country to another to act on behalf of their government, promoting interests and maintaining relationships. A nation's ambassador to another country lives there and represents their home country's values, laws, and priorities. In a broader sense, someone who represents or promotes a stands for a cause, an organization, or a brand. For instance, a sports star might be an ambassador for a charity, raising awareness. Suzanne Prentice is the ambassador for Hospice Southland. When you think of Hospice Southland, when you see Suzanne Prentice, you go hospice. She's acting on hospice's behalf. A follower of Christ who represents him and his kingdom in the world. Believers are ambassadors of heaven, sent into the world to reflect God's character and share his message of reconciliation. I think that's why Charlie Kirk has had such a profound impact. In fact, I would surmise that before whatever day it was, Monday, there'll be some who didn't even hear who Charlie Kirk was. It was like, who is this Charlie Kirk? Then you start searching, then you start looking, and then you listen. And it's interesting because I've been following him for a long, long time. In fact, I will sit on my phone and scroll, and if you scroll, probably every second thing would have come up. Charlie, I mean, the kids used to get sick and tired of it. Because, oh, what's that up? Turn that down. And I'll just watch it. And as much as I'd love his articulation on answers in regards to politics, and his answers on behalf of things going on in the world, what I loved most about him is his way he articulated his faith. The way he was able to articulate what Jesus did for him. And that was his primary focus. Everything else was just questions and stuff that he always had opportunity to share his faith. He was able to articulate the gospel. And I think that moving forward, and I said this at Waikiki this morning, I think we're entering into a very uncomfortable period of time as Christians. Why do I say that? Because I actually think we're moving in a time where actually we are going to have to know that we know that we know with a conviction why we believe what we believe and who we believe, and what he did for us. Because I don't think it's enough now to say, I mean, you know, to have someone go, I go to church, come to church. Well, what do you go to church for? Oh, it's just something I've always done or you know. I think we have to be in a position now where we have to think through. If someone was to ask you, what did Jesus do for you? Are you able to answer it there and then? If someone was to come and ask you, tell me about Jesus. I know you go to church. Tell me about Jesus. What is it that you are going to be able to say to that question right now? And I think with what's happened with Charlie Kirk, I think it's highlighted the fact that, man, and I loved how he articulated it. And it causes me to go, man, if someone confronted me, what is it? How is it that I can say what he's done for me? Why am I able to have eternity with him? What is that Jesus does? Nothing that I've done. What has Jesus done for me? I was sharing a story. I was scrolling through Facebook, and I was just, you know, there's one of those things that just caught you. And this caught me, and I was flicking. All of a sudden, I heard The Thief on the Cross. Now, I quite enjoy The Thief on the Cross because I just like that. And I caught this Thief on the Cross, so I stopped, and I went back, and I listened to it, and it was a preacher. And he was sharing about The Thief on the Cross, and he was saying from a perspective of, you know, The Thief on the Cross died, and he went up to heaven, and he was in front of the pearly gates, and the guys were on the gate control, letting people in and out. And what are you doing here? He goes, I don't know. I was down there, and now I'm here. Well, why? He was, I don't know. And so they started, you know, flicking through, and and they're trying to. They say, "What? What? Tell me about your upbringing." So he's going in to explain. Oh, you know, I'm a thief. I'm this. I'm that. And they're like, oh, "Tell me about your Bible. Tell me about theology. Tell me about what theological training have you had?" I haven't had any. Well, tell me about justification. Tell me about sin. I don't know. And they went away and got other people in, and they're trying to figure out what he was. And in the end, they just went on and on and on. And in the end, the guy said, "Well, what are you doing here?" And his reply was just simply because the guy in the middle said I could come. The guy in the middle said I could be here. That's what Jesus did. That's what Jesus does. And my challenge for us is, are we able to articulate that? And I would encourage you, if you can't, I would encourage you over the next coming weeks or months, find some space and just sit with him and begin to articulate, so that when opportunities come, because I believe opportunities are going to come, there is a hunger in people's life. There's a hunger in people's hearts. We're seeing it. We're seeing it in our church. I mean, we had a gentleman here last week, got saved, first time in church. Another guy today in Waikiki, first time in church. Boom. There's a hunger stirring. Amen. Number three, we reach beyond our walls. Faith must translate into action, serving the needs of our community and forming relationships. James 2:14-17 says, What good is it, my brothers and sisters, if someone claims to have faith but has no deeds? Can such faith save them? Suppose a brother or sister is without clothes and daily food. If one of you say to them, go in peace, keep warm and well fed, but does nothing about their physical needs, what good is it? In the same way, faith by itself, if it is not accompanied by action, is dead. Being a missional church, having a missional culture, causes us to reach beyond our walls. Discipleship becomes daily life. A missional mindset turns faith into action, making every moment an opportunity to reflect Jesus. Colossians 3:17, whatever you do in word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus. Making the moment of every opportunity to reflect that Jesus, what he did, what he's done in your life, to have that reflected out. And so those everyday little things, those everyday jobs you do, those everyday goings that you do, become opportunities to reflect. You're no longer just going to the shop. You're no longer just going to get petrol. You're no longer just going to the supermarket. You're no longer just going to school. You're no longer just going to work. Everything you do is an opportunity. Discipleship becomes daily life. We embrace innovation for the kingdom. God calls us to creatively impact lives, not remain stuck in comfort or tradition. Having a missional culture, having a missional focus, causes us to embrace innovation, causes us to embrace change, causes us to embrace shift. And I think as a church, it's exactly what we've done. I mean, you know, go back a few years. Go back a few years and look at where we are now. We've shifted, we've adapted, we've changed, we've innovated ourselves. For the purpose of being missional. Has change been easy? Sometimes. Is change hard? Sometimes. But we've done it because we're a missional church. And we've sown into that. We've sown into that. We've sown over $200,000 into buying this building so that we can be innovative. So that we can adapt. So that we can change. So that we can not remain stuck in comfort and tradition. You know, change sometimes is hard. But sometimes change is hard when you're looking for change as well. Sometimes things are comfortable and change has to happen. And I know that this last few months that's happened for someone here in church. Change is happening. For those who haven't heard, Judith, where are you, Judith? Shrinking away on her seat about now. Judith has been our office administrator for the last 3 years and has done one of the most outstanding jobs that the church has seen. And I mean, I'm telling you, there are systems in place, there are structures in place, there are things that are in place that weren't in place, that should have been in place, that are in place now. I mean, the church is in an incredible position behind the scenes because of what Judith has done. But it's change. It's time for a change. It's time for a season change. So it's changing. And Judith has said, look, it's time for me to finish. Ouch, yes. But change is okay. We're excited for Judith. We're excited for what God has got for her in the future. We're excited that, I mean, I'm telling you, what she's done is incredible. In fact, I'm going to invite the elders to come. Actually, we'll do it now. I'm going to ask the elders to come, and I'm going to ask Darren. And don't give me that evil look, Judith. Where's the elders? Why don't the elders come forward? I'm gonna hand over to Darren. Judith, come forward and just share a little bit as well.
Thanks, Darren.
Yeah, Judith's pretty cool. It's been amazing. It really has. To throw Judith into the ministering the church, that's a big ask, because we're an organization of believers, but we're a weird bunch. I can tell you that. And it's not easy. You know, Judith, she's pretty much been available, even though it's not her contract, 24/7, 7 days a week, because some of you guys just want to know what's going on. And who do we go to? Judith. And so it's been a real privilege to have you as our administrator, financial officer, go to, go where, go everywhere. You've been amazing. And we've just loved what you've been doing. We love you as a person and as part of this church, and we want you to stay with us. But we won't be giving any wages this time. You've got to stay because you want to stay.
Awesome. So we're going to, Judith, would you take the, we're going to gather and we're going to pray for you, and Lyle's going to lead the charge there. And why don't we just stand to our feet, reach your hands forward as we pray.
So, Father, tonight we just thank you for Judith and all that she has poured in, Lord, in a role as our financial administrator. I just thank you for the blessing that she carries on her life and the beauty that we see on her life and her kindness, Lord, and all the skill set that you have given her. And we thank you for blessing her in this role she's about to take on, Lord. Lord, that she will even grow in you. She'll find you in a deeper way, Lord, without all the frustrations that came with this role at times. And Lord, that she would just fit there, that people would the favor upon her life, that it's attractive, it's beautiful. And we thank you for what she carries. And going into the future, Lord, your purposes and your plans are divine. are holy and are true and are upon Judas' life.
The Lord will say to you, my daughter, you may, even though you're saying your own heart, I had a dream, I've had a destiny on my life, I had a purpose that I trained for, and I've dug into that, and then I found myself on a detour where I've been in a church, I've been serving in a different capacity, in a different role,
yeah.
And even at this point you may question yourself. I sense the Lord would say to you today that the season that you've just been through has been a season of building, a season of God doing a deep work in you, and as you go into the next phase, into the next season, you're going to realize that what God has built within you in the last 3 years has been something that is significant. You're going to find that there's going to be challenges that will come in the next space, and they're not going to overwhelm you, they're not going to overtake you, they're going to, you're going to find that there's going to be an ease, a wisdom, a sense of, wow, I've got something within me that can help bring about a shift and a change in this particular space. And that is God doing his work, for he's no man's debtor. And he would say to you that though you've given so much, even out time, outside the scope of your own contract, you've served, and you've served well.
Yeah.
And because you've done so, I know this, says the Lord, I'm going to pour into your lap, press down, shaking together, and running over. You're going to know a filling, not only of the of practical substance, but you're going to know a filling of the things of the emotions, things of the spirit, things of your own well-being, body, soul, mind, and spirit, in Jesus' name. So, Father, right now we lay hands on her as an eldership. And, Father, we just declare health and prosperity to her, to Richard and the family. Father, we pray, Lord God, every niggle, every obstacle of the enemy that will try to rob, steal, or destroy. Father, we say that these things are off limit in Jesus' name.
Amen.
We declare, Father God, our open heaven and a clear pathway. Because we know, Lord God, the steps of a good man, of a good woman, are ordered by the Lord. And you're ordering Judah's steps. Thank you, Lord God.
Thank you, Father.
Hallelujah. Amen.
Thank you, Father. Thank you,
Jesus. I'm not the easiest, I know. Yeah. So with change comes difference, and so Judith's role was quite a big role. It obviously started out not so. It has grown as we've grown, and so we are obviously splitting the role into different roles. And so Catherine is going to be taking over the finance role of the church, and so she's going to be stepping into that space, and then watch out. Oh, no. And then what we're going to do is we're going to be looking for someone to take on an office administrative role. And so we'll have some more information about that later, but there's a role there to facilitate that. So Catherine's going to touch base with Judith after this, after we finish tonight, and arrange a time to crank that in and do all the official changeovers, all that sort of stuff. Amen. Awesome. Where was I? Number six now. Mission unites us. Shared purpose brings unity, keeping personal preferences secondary to God's calling. Mission unites us. I'm going to race through these. God's love becomes visible. A church that has a missional culture, missional focus, God's love becomes visible. Serving, comforting, and caring for others makes God's love tangible to the world. 1 John 3:18, let us not love with words or speech, but with actions and in truth. Number eight, we raise leaders who multiply. A missional church raises leaders who multiply. A missional culture equips people. A missional culture disciples others. A missional culture ensures lasting kingdom impact. 2 Timothy 2:2, and the things you have heard me say in the presence of many witnesses, and trust to reliable people who will also be qualified to teach others. We will grow leaders. We will develop leaders. We will release leaders. We will send leaders. We're not going to be a church that hangs on to people. There'll be ones that we will hang on to. There'll be ones that are called to go, and it's our job to steward those ones to go. As a church leader, you kind of want to develop and grow and keep them all yourself, but that's selfish. That is selfish. Our job is to grow leaders. Our job is to disciple. Our job is to create space for people to step into their call. And sometimes that means staying. Sometimes that means going. And as a church, we have to be okay with seeing people go. We should be excited to see people go. We should be celebrating people going. We should be releasing people. And when you go, why are we releasing that person? Why don't we release John? Release Jono. Keep that person. Get rid of him. Missional church raises leaders who multiply. Number 9. We stay relevant for future generations. A church focused only inwardly risks stagnation. A missional church adapts while remaining true to God's mission. And number 10, our faith is strengthened. Living missionally builds resilience. Trials become opportunities to trust God and grow spiritually. Our faith is strengthened. So as a church, as we step into the things that God has for us, as we continue to move into the vision and the outworking of that vision that God has called us, when we get up and say, hey, we're launching congregation number 3. Hey, we're launching congregation number 4. Hey, the cafe is ready to go, the hub's ready to go. When we step into that space and outwork what God has given us, that's the exciting part. And that's where we are at the moment. We know what God has called us to do. Now we're working towards outworking that. And we can celebrate things like Waikiki. It's something, yes, I know sometimes we go, oh, but I miss that person. Well, give them a phone call. Oh, I miss seeing their face. Well, go and meet them for a coffee. Just because we have another congregation over there doesn't mean to say that you can't see them anymore. It just means you've got to actually get out of your seat to physically go and see them and get out of into that space. Yeah, come on. That's good. And so we haven't split. We haven't separated. We are growing. We are birthing. We are fulfilling the call of God in their life. And we are a church planting church. Why? Because we want growth. Why? Because we want to reach our city. We want to reach our community. And so we're going to continue to plant congregations. We're going to continue to buy buildings. We're going to continue to grow. And so that's where I keep saying to you that we've got a church congregation of church planters. Every single one of us has a part to play. And there's a lot of jobs in the church that still need filled. In fact, I'm going to send an email around this week with lists of jobs that need roles or need someone to step into. From going, mate, I'll look after the morning tea rosters on Sunday. I'll go pickups. I'll help on kids' church. The growth of the church is on the youth and the young people coming in, the young adults coming in. That's where the growth is. And so we need to invest into that. So we need more people to go, hey, I've never done kids before. I don't particularly like kids, but I want to serve in some capacity. No, we don't want you. No. No, we'll put you on morning tea or something. We'll put you on door greeters or something. But we'll put you out the back. So no. But we do. We need people who are passionate about children. We've got a kids team, a team of 5 people across 2 campuses, and they're on, and they serve and they serve. But we need people to go, you know what? I can help in that space. I can do a Sunday. I can do a Sunday. I can serve. I can come and do morning teas. I can come and make sure this is done. I can come and be on door grids. I can get involved. This is a church where you've got to get involved in. If you want to sit and do nothing, come and see me. And I'll give you a list of churches you can go to. But this is not one of them. We're a church that has missional focus. We're a church. We're a church that exists for others. We are a church that has been built for the unchurched. How big is our church? It's 55,000 people. We just need to figure out how to get them in the walls. Let's stand tonight again, one more time. Jesus. Father, I thank you again for what you're doing in the life of this church. Father, I thank you for the call that you've placed upon us, Lord God. Father, I thank you for the conviction that you've placed within our eldership to know that this is the way to move forward. And so, Father, as we step in, as we create that culture of being a missional church, Father, never let us lose the focus of those outside the walls. Let us never lose sight of those ones that are not in church now, those ones that aren't in fellowship now, Lord God. Father, let that be our motivation. Father, let the cross be central to everything we do, Lord God. Father, that so that even now that we have the assurance to be able to say on that day that our breath is gone, well, the guy in the middle said I could come. Father, I pray that as we go and make disciples, Father, those family members, those work colleagues, those friends, those ones that we have in our lives, Lord God, as we reach out, Lord God, to them, for they would indeed be able to say, well, I'm here because the guy in the middle of what he did for me. Jesus, Father, I pray a blessing over every family represented here tonight, Lord God. Father, even over this week, Lord God, Father, I pray that everyone here would just be aware of your presence, Lord God, during the week. Father, in their comings and in their goings, Lord God. Father, for the ones who couldn't be here tonight. Father, those ones who are in bad health. Those ones that just couldn't make it. Father, we speak blessing over them in the name of Jesus. In your name we pray. Amen. 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 Amen.